Begin the current daf Maseches Erevin daf Chav Ches. We begin on the bottom line of daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which were a few lines up, and that is there was an explanation in the Gemara regarding why is it that there was regarding the psukim regarding Kesef Meiser. It says in the pasuk a general statement that you could purchase whatever food item you want for the Meiser money. That's Meiser Sheni. You go up to Yerushalayim, you bring the money up because you can't bring all your Meiser up to Yerushalayim. So you exchange it for money, you bring up the money to Yerushalayim, and you can buy whatever ta'ava nafshach, whatever your heart desires. Then it specifies, as four specifies, talks about certain cattle, wine, old wine, so that's a prat. And then it says, again, the general rule, b'chol tash'ar shalcha nafshach, whatever your heart will ask for. So that, on the Gemara says that there's two different ways to interpret that. Either with ribuy, mit ribuy, either that it includes everything, and then it excludes, then it includes everything. And then the other option, which is the one we were discussing in the Gemara right before, was that it's called klal prat klal. That is, there's a general statement, all types of foods, then there's a specifier, and then a general rule again, and that is, the klal is that it has to be ke'en haprat, although it's including a lot of things, but whatever those things that are being included with the general statements, it has to be similar in some in the respects of the things which are the particulars, which in this case was the bakar, tzayin, and the yain, and the sheikher, has to have the similarities of those two things. And that, Abai explained that there were two different brises that they're both going in this concept of klal prat klal, but yet they argue if fish would be allowed or not to be included in Kesef Meiser. And why is that? And that they have this argument because there is a possibility of two or three criteria that would be included in regards to these that what these three things have in common. That these four things of bakar, tzayin, and yayin, and sheikher, and that is that A, that they're primipri, that they're a product of a product, that each one causes the next one to come, animals cause their children to come, which cause their children to come, and the same thing goes with things that are planted, and also that they're giduli karka, there's things that grow off the ground, which that would include fish, as we explained in the previous daf, that fish ultimately get their nourishment somehow from the ground, and therefore they're considered also giduli karka, just like animals are considered giduli karka, although they don't actually grow from the ground, but they get nourished from the ground. However, the other one that adds on another criteria of vlad vlodis, that it has to be the child of a child that ultimately came from the ground, that we said that excludes fish, because fish were not created from the ground, they were created from water. Those are the two different interpretations, though, again, although these tanoim are both going, these two different rises, and the concept of klal prat klal, not ribuy, however, they still argue regarding if it's two criteria or three criteria that they have in common. Is it just primipri and geduli karka, which would include fish, or is there even a third criteria that these four types have in common, and that is not only that they have those two, but they're also vlad vlodis maris, they were originally in the sheishim erashis, when Hashem created the world, were from the ground, from earth, and that would exclude fish, which was not created from earth. That's where our current Gemara begins. And that the Gemara asks, Omiyar Mabaya Dogim Geduli Karka. Did Abaya really say that fish are considered that they grow from the ground, that in the sense that they have the growth through the ground, that is actually nourished from the ground? Because again, that's what he said, that would be Tully in these two different Shatim. If you say that it's just needs the two criteria of Primipri and Geduli Karka, that would include fish. But the other brayse that adds on the criteria of vlad vlodis from the earth, that it actually was a derivative from a derivative that ultimately had come from the earth, that would exclude fish that did not come from the earth. But ultimately he's considering that it is considered geduli karka. Another Gemara says, can Abai really say such a thing? But v'om Abai, Abai himself had said, and that's where we continue on to the top of Chav Chesam and Aleph, Ochel Petisa. If someone consumes a petisa, which is an aquatic sheretz, that a small sheretz that's in the water, that doesn't even have the size of a kezais, yet in spite of that, you're going to be chayiv for consuming it, which there's an issur of shrotzim, and that is because since it's what's called a berry, it's a complete living thing, so then it's considered nachila. And how many isurim are you over if you eat this petisa? Like arba, you get four malkis. And that is the full malchus for eating any sheretz amayim, any sheretz that's an aquatic creature, you get four. As it's brought in Teres Koyanim, that it says in the pasuk, Al teshak tus nafshaseichem b'chol sheretz ha-sheretz. Don't disgust your soul with anything that's a crawly vermin. And instead of leisatamem, you should not defile yourself with that. So that's two isurim. And included in that is all types of shrotzim, whether sheretz ha-aretz or sheretz ha-mayim, whether it's from the a vermin of the ground or a vermin of the water. And then there's another two isurim of mibsarim loy toichlu, don't eat from their flesh. And it says, v'chol ha-she'in loy snapet v'kaskes loy seichlenu, regarding anything that's an aquatic creature, if it doesn't have fin and scales, then that you can't consume, which would exclude the shrotzim that don't have those things. So that would be four different isurim that you're over when you eat one of these tiny little bugs, even though it's not even the size of a kedai. So you get four malchus for four isurim. Nemola, Abai said regarding an ant, and the ant is a sheretz ha'aretz, it's something that crawls on the ground. Like a chamish, you get five malchus, you get the two which we mentioned before, which are generally serving for any type of sheretz. And then there's also v'chol hoylech al gochein l'chol ha'sheretz ha'sheretz ha'aretz le'isoichum, which anything that crawls on its stomach and that it crawls on the ground, that you're not allowed to eat, that's a third iser. And then it says v'chol ha'sheretz ha'sheretz ha'aretz sheketu lo'yoichel, that's four for something that crawls on the ground. And it says v'lisitam es nafshaseichem v'chol ha'sheretz ha'remes ha'aretz, that's five. Again, those are the added three which all specify regarding if it's on the ground. And all these are in parshas Vayehi b'yom hashmini. So that's five isurim and five malchus that you get if one consumes an ant. Tzira, regarding a hornet, that is a sheretz ha'oif, that's something that's a vermin that flies in the year. Like a sheish, you get six malchus. And that is, you get the five that we mentioned before. And added on that is that you get the sheretz ha'oif, which it says in the pasuk sheketzu lo yoichel, which is a pasuk in Mishneh Torah. And Rashi says, although there's a pasuk in Kedoshim Tiyu that says v'leishasakchas nafshaseichem bebehemo v'oif v'chol hashatirmos, that pasuk is not included for any one of these things, because that pasuk is talking about by behema and chaya and oif, which are large. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about shratzim, as Rashi proves, because it doesn't say over there the terminology sheretz. Because the term sheretz is something that crawls on the ground, it's not visible. The only way it's visible that it's actually going is through the fact that it crawls on the ground because it's so small. That is the term that would specify regarding a sheretzim, if it said sheretz. There it says sheketz, which is abominable, it's disgusting, but again, that's talking about large unkosher animals, not these small vermin. So therefore, again, you have four for the aquatic, you have five for those on the ground, and you have six for those that fly in the ear. Now, this is what the Gemara says, v'im isa, and if it was true, as we were saying in the name of Abaye, that fish are considered gedulei karka, that they in some level, they grow from the ground. So then, patisa namilukim yishum hasheretz hasheretz ala oretz. Then, regarding these aquatic creatures, that you should also have malchus not only for the four that we mentioned, but you should also get for the isurim of the vermin that crawl on the ground. And that is, you should get seven malchus. You should get five of those from those that grow that crawl on the ground, as we said, like it is by an ant. And add on that another two of the shrots of mamayim, because again, two are general. And then there's a specific three for those on the ground, two for those who grow in the water. And since those in the water are also, on some level, gedulei karka, as Abaye had said on the previous daf, so therefore you should have another three of those from those who grow on the ground. You should have seven, not four. And therefore, the Gemara says, Elam Ravina argues on Abaye. He says, truth is, regarding those two brises that we mentioned on the previous daf, that they both consider regarding what you could buy with Meister money of Meister Shein in Yerushalayim, that it says, Kalal Prat the Kalal, and that one said two criteria, the other one said three criteria. What is the difference if you add on that terminology of vlod vlodis ha'aretz, that it's derivative of the ground? Can't be regarding fish, because fish are not considered even gedulei karka. So even the one that doesn't hold vlod vlodis ha'aretz, it just says pre and gedulei karka, it would not include fish, as we're proving over here, because if fish was considered gedulei karka, you should get seven, not four malchus. So rather, Ravina says, oifis ikibinai. The difference between those two brises is in regards to birds. That is Lamandama pre Vigadula Karaka, according to the Brisa, only had two criteria, that it has to be a product from a product. That is, the product itself causes the next product to come. And also Gedula Karaka, that has to grow from the ground. Haninama Gedula Karaka. Birds are also Gedula Karaka, they also get their nourishment, their food from the ground. However, Lamandama Vlad Vladisar, it's according to the one that said that there's a third criteria, it has to be a derivative from the ground, that had to the original one of this species. Had to have been created from the earth. Birds were not created just from earth. They were created from a combination of earth and water, that is some type of a mud. And therefore, since they weren't just from karka, they weren't just from earth, that's why it's not included in those four things which are vlad vlad sa'aretz. And therefore, according to that brisa, you would not be able to purchase birds with meister money. And that is different between the two of them. But not like Abai had said, that the difference is fish. Both of them agree that fish is not included because fish is not gedulei karka. Now the Gemara asks, on the fundamental principle that these two brisa are arguing on. Mandamar bi oifis my time, according to the brisa that includes oifis, that it could be purchased with maisa money, again, because it only has two criteria. Umandamamet oifis, and according to the one that excludes birds, because there's three criteria, including vlad vladis arts, and birds are not just from the earth, they're from rakak. My time, what's the understanding of these two opinions? Why does one say that there's only two criteria, and why does the other one say three criteria? I mean, according to the one that says two, vlad vladis arts is something that's common, that there is a commonality of all these four pratim that is said in the pasuk, a bakar, tzayin, yain, and sheicher. So why doesn't he include it that it has to be also vlad vladis arts, and also to exclude birds too, like the other brisa says? Another Gemara says as follows, because it depends on the fundamental understanding of how the principle of klal prat klal works. The one that says that includes birds, he holds that wherever it says a klal prat klal, a general statement, like in this case, whatever your heart desires, then a prat, a specifier of, let's say, bakr, tzayin, sheikh, yain, and then again a klal, a general statement of whatever, teshalcha, nafshecha, whatever your heart desires. Klola basr dafka. In truth, the last general statement is the primary one. And that is the one that really defines the prat. And that is prat uklal. Really what it is, a klal prat uklal is really a prat uklal. That is, there's a specific and a general statement. Where that rule we know is a different rule in the Torah, that is nasa klal mleisav al prat, that general rule adds on to the specific case, v'israbalu kol mili, it really includes everything. And yet, however, the original klal, the first one, which comes to exclude, and that comes to say that we should include it as a klal of prat, and that is the aim b'chalal al mashav prat, and that it should only be that whatever is in the general statement should only be exactly what's in the specific one, and we shouldn't include anything. That we don't go after that one. That is, in other words, this mandama says that when we have klal prat klal, the primary is the last klal, which says prat klal, everything is included. However, the first klal, which again would say klal prat, that you only have what's in the prat and nothing really more, what it does help is to diminish a little bit and to say that although you're including everything with the last general statement, don't include everything. Whatever you're including should be like the prat, should have similar characteristics. As the Gemara says, V'hanik klola kama lemu'ute, but the first general statement, it does help somewhat, although it's not the primary, comes to diminish, to say that kol d'lai domi l'mishnei tzad, and whatever is not similar to it, in two sides, in two criteria, that will be excluded. And that is, in our case, was pre-mipri has to be a product of a product, and gedulei karka has to grow from the ground. But it would still be included, birds from this din, because again, birds has pre-mipri and gedulei karka. However, it would still exclude fish, because fish does not have both of the pre-mipri and gedulei karka, because it only has one of the two. It's only a product of a product, that the fish has its children, but it's not something that grows from the ground, as we proved before. However, but it's, again, it's a much less, it's not going to exclude birds, because we're only going to require two criteria, again, because really the main one is the inclusive factor of the last klal. Whereas uman de mamet oifes ksav, the one that says we're excluding even birds, they hold that wherever it says klal prat in the Torah, is klal kama dafka, that really the first general statement is the primary, which ultimately means that it's like a different rule of the midrash haTorah Jeshben, which a klal prat, in a sense, really it's a general statement and then a specifier, which that halacha is, v'im b'chlal el mashav prat, that is whatever was included in the general statement, the last thing said, which is the specifier, it qualifies and says that hani in midrash haNiloy, only this that's included in the specific statement, only that will be included in what could be bought with Meiser money. And that would exclude everything. Even what's similar to the prat will not be included. However, but that is what the last general statement helps to go ahead and then to sum it up again with a general statement to exclude a little bit from the diminishment of the first klal to say that it will include a little bit more, although it's all being excluded and being diminished by the fact of it's only a klal of prat, which only allows you exactly what's in the prat. However, the last klal comes to include a little bit more to say that if it has similarity in three criteria, then it's going to be included. And that is, in our case, which would be that it has to be pre-mipri, gedulei karka, and vlad sa'aretz, has to be derivative from originally from the ground, which again, that would exclude birds, because birds are not vlad sa'aretz, it's not just from the earth, it's from earth and water, some type of a mud. That's what birds were made from. And again, this is really the machlokes that they have was regarding how we define klal by the klal. Is the last klal the primary one? And therefore, really, we should include everything. But then the first klal, which then would make it into a klal of prat, would takes away a little bit. And therefore, you have to at least have similarity in two criteria, but not three, because really, we would include everything. We're only excluding if it doesn't have the similarity in two criteria. Or do you say that, no, the first klal is the main one? So it's a klal of prat. Really, we should not include anything. But then the last call comes to include a little bit more. That is, if it has similarity in at least three criteria, then we'll include it. But that would exclude not only fish, but even birds. Again, that is the machloikis that they have regarding if birds are included or not, defining how you define klal prat to klal. So now the Gemara continues regarding the hechsher, things that are fit for macholim for Erev, and that, as we said in our Mishnah, that regarding everything could be used for the halachas of Erev, to make an Erev b'chatzeis, Erev b'tchumen. However, there are certain specifiers, things that would be excluded, as our Mishnah said regarding Mayim HaMelech, and as we said, that's not an ironclad rule, there are exceptions to that, besides Mayim HaMelech, that not considered food to be able to make, that's your residence for Shabbos, as if that's what your meal is. Amar Behuda Mishmei D'Rav Shmuel Bashilis Mishmei D'Rav. Ma'arvin bepapuin. You can make an Erev with this herb, which is called kukuli in Aramaic. That's good, it's a fit food to make an Erev out of it. Ubechalag lugois. You can make it with purslane. Ubegudgonius, and with coriander. Aval loy bechaziz, but you can do it with green grain, which that's what's called throughout Shas, what's called shachas. It's the grain when it's still green, and they would cut it off and eat it, and then it would regrow to what it's supposed to be. That cannot be used to make Erev out of it. And similarly, b'lo b'chafnius, you can't use these bad dates which didn't mature fully. These kafnius are not considered machalim to be able to make an Erev out of it. To which the Gemara asks on this statement, uvegudgonius mi ma'arvin, can you actually make an Erev out of coriander? But by the time we learn in the Braisa, good gonias, it diminishes the zera, the semen of a man, and therefore merubi banim yoichlu. Only someone that has a lot of children he could eat it. Chasuchi banim lo yoichlu, but someone that does not have children shouldn't eat it, because what happens is he's not going to have the zera to be able to have children. Vimhukshu la zera, and if the stalks became hard like a piece of wood, and that is that the zera, the seeds had already sprouted inside of it, then the stalks are harsh even to everybody. And therefore, even someone that has a lot of children should not eat it. And therefore, how could we say you can make an Erev out of it if it's not fit for anybody to eat? So how could we consider a Meichel to make an Erev? So the Gemara gives three pshatim. What do we mean over here? So Targum, you should interpret that this that Rav said, that you can make an Erev out of this coriander, either toma ashaloi hukshu lezera, that we're talking about one that did not get hard yet, the stalk, and that the seeds would sprout inside of it, umirubi banim, and he has a lot of children, so therefore for such a person it's fit. Because if he doesn't have children, it's never fit, because it diminishes the semen. So therefore, he has a lot of children, and it didn't get hard yet. A second pshat the Gemara brings, we're talking about someone that does not have children. But, so if it doesn't have children, it's never fit for him, because it diminishes his zera. No, he could make an Erev out of it, because it's fit for someone that has a lot of children. As the Gemara says, although it's not fit for him, didn't we learn the non-Mishnah? Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin. A Nazir, who is forbidden to have wine, could make an Erev out of wine. And similarly, Ul Yisrael b'truma. And Yisrael could make an Erev out of truma, although they themselves cannot consume it, because Alma Avagav Dulei Chazilahai, obviously if it's not fit for the Nazir and for the Yisrael, their items, Chazilahai, but it's fit for a non-Nazir and for a Kain. So therefore you can make an Erev out of it, because at least for somebody it's fit to be eaten, so it's considered food. Hachinami Avagav Dulei Chazilahai. Here also, in this case, even though it's not fit for the one that does not have children, it's fit for someone that has children, and therefore it is considered an Erev. V'ibayisema, or if you want, you could say a third pshat, is Kikama Rav. When did Rav say that you can make an Erev out of it? Was Behindakuke Madoi. We're talking about the good gunyas, the coriander of Madai, where they are good. They are not like the ones that we're used to, which are harmful and not good. And therefore, you can use it. It's talking about that case of the ones from Madai. So those are three pshatim to say, well, how did Rav say that good gunny is coriander could be used as an air? Now the Gemara continues to ask on this statement, that is, ubechaziz loy, is it really true that regarding this green grain, again, when it didn't fully grow yet, that cannot be used as an air? But v'am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi, kishus v'chaziz. Regarding hops and this green grain, me'arve man, that you are allowed to make an Erev out of it. Umavarchan alayim bar pi'adama, you make a bar pi'adama. It's grain, it's something that grows from the ground. So how can you say that you cannot make an Erev out of it? And then the Gemara says, loy kasha. Ha mikmeid da asa rav labavl. Ha labasa da asa rav labavl. One statement was made by Rav before he came down to Bavl, and another statement was made by Rav after he came down to Bavl, and that is because in Bavl they eat chaziz, they eat the green grain. And so when Rav came to Bavli, he saw everyone eats it. He says, oh, okay, it's something that people eat, so you can make an Erev out of it. However, beforehand, he thought to say that he never saw anyone eat it, so he figured it's not considered a food item. And that's when he said, you cannot make an Erev out of it. Tosh Gemara asks on that. So what? So when he came down to Bavli, he saw finally there are people that eat it, so therefore he says, oh, you can make an Erev out of it? Ube Bavl Havi Rubi the Alma? Is Bavl the majority of the world that should define the criteria that this is considered an edible item? there's that it's a meichel that you can make erev out of it. But by the time we learn the brisa, hapul regarding beans, vasoira and barley, vahatilson and tilson, shazaron liyerek, if it was planted for the herb, that is to eat the vegetable as a vegetable, but ladaita etzikaladim, his das, his opinion, his hanhaga, what he's doing is nullified in regards to the majority of the world. And therefore, lefikach zaren chayiv, if it's for its seeds, then you're liable, then you're responsible in meiser, even if you didn't plant it with initially for that purpose. The yarkin pater, but the herb, the vegetable of it is pater, because again, it's nothing. We don't care what his intention was, because we say batel daita it's kolodim. Although he wants it for the yark, but no one eats it like that. Hashachalayim bahargarga, regarding cress and garden rocket, and that is, these are things that are eaten both for the seeds and for the vegetable. So therefore, it's either way, shazar and the yerek, if you plant it for the vegetable, misasin yerek vizera, you take meister on both the vegetable and the seeds. And similarly, zar and lazera, if you plant it for the seeds, misasin zer yerek, either way, you'll have to take meister on the seed and the vegetables, because both are consumed by people, so it doesn't make a difference what you planted it for, it's considered an edible product. So therefore, at least what the question the Gemara is asking is, from the Reisha, that it's obvious that we don't rechen, we don't consider what is not normally done with the minority of people, as we find by the beans and the sa'ira and the tilson, that if the person is planting it for yerek, to eat it as it is, we don't consider it as if that's considered a meichel, because, and therefore you don't take meichel from the yerek part of it, because that's not what people plant. The people plant for the seeds of it. And that's the part that's consumed, that's eaten, that's used. And therefore, how can we say that, oh, he came down to bubble, oh, I see people use it, fine, it's considered a food, everyone can make an erev on there, but that's not true. They're not the majority of the world, and if they're not the majority, and the majority does not eat it, so therefore it's not considered edible, it's not considered a food item, as we find by the beans and the sa'ir and the tilson, that if someone does it for the yerek, we did not consider his, and we say it's bottled out, it's kolodim, because the majority does not do it for the yerek, they do it for the zera. And that the Gemara answers, Ki kama Rav, when did Rav say that you can make an erev with this chaziz, with the green grass, which again, it seems like the majority of the world does not eat it, and that as we continue on to Amud Beis, is Begid Gunoyasa. We're talking about that the type of chaziz that grows in a garden, that type of species that everyone does eat, and therefore that's not a difficulty, because that type of chaziz, everyone eats, and that's why you can make an erev out of it. Now the Gemara says that we spoke about the gargir. That gargir, it's both for the zera and for the yerek, and therefore both take maisa. To which the Gemara asks, zera gargir l'may chazi. What is the seed of the gargir? What's it fit for that we say that you take maisa from it? What is it fit for? Am Rabbi Yechanan, shekein rishonim, shalohoylem papon, the earlier generations where they did not have pepper, shaykhkin oiso yamatbilim baisatzalim. Although we would generally use the spice of pepper for our roast, they did not have pepper, so they would grind the seed of the gargir, and they would dip their roast into it, and that was the purpose of it, and therefore it was considered an edible item, both the yerek and the zera, and that's why it's something that you take meiser off of. So related to this topic that we're speaking about regarding the kshus, the hops, and the chaziz, and the green grain, the Gemara brings the following episode. Reb Zeri ki have a chodesh megirsi. Reb Zeri, when he wasn't feeling well, he wasn't able to continue his learning. He would go and sit by the yeshiva by the opening of Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami. Amar, he said, at least when the Rabbanan, when the Talmid Chacham come in and out of Beis Medrash, I'll get up for them. I'll get schar. In other words, I can't get schar for learning. At least I'll get schar for standing up for Talmid Chacham. So it came out of the yeshiva, a child from cheder, from yeshiva. Amalei my agmar rabbi. He said, what did your Rebbe teach you today? A Malay kishus boy priadama, that hops you make a boy priadama on them. Chaziz is shahakal nibidvar, but the green grain you make a shahakal nibidvar. So a Malay, so he told the child, Adrabba, to the contrary, Ibcha Mistabi makes sense the other way around. It is high regarding the chaziz, the green grain, mi'arka marbi. It grows from the ground, and therefore you should be making a boy priadama. Vahai ma'virka marbi, but the kishus, the hops, it grows from the ear. And therefore, you should be making a shahakal nebidvari. And that is, these hops, they grow on what's called these hizmi. These are these prickly plants. And it doesn't have any roots in the ground. And therefore, since it grows from the hizmi, it's not something that's from the ground. It shouldn't have a bipiridim. It should be shahakal, which is the opposite of what the Rebbe of the child had taught him. However, the Gemara says, the halacha follows like that child, how he heard from his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, hi, the kshus, the hops, gemar peri. It's the complete of the pre, therefore it's called a pre. In other words, it's when it's complete, and therefore it has the bracha of Bar Pri Adama. The high, but regarding the chaziz, the green grain, lav gema peri, it's not complete yet. As we said, that it's something when it's just still green and they cut it down and it still regrows to the full plant that it's supposed to be. And if it's not a hadama, it's a shahakal because it's not complete yet. And then the Gemara says, "My dika amar." And this that you had said to ask, but hay ma'ar karavi v'hay ma'aviro karavi. That how could it be? But it should be to the contrary because one of them grows from the ground and the other one grows from the ear. That the kashus, the hops, should be shahakal because it's not growing from the ground. How could you say beripri adama? Whereas the other one should be beripri adama because it grows from the ground. Another Gemara says lohi, because kashus nami ma'ar karavi. Hops also grow from the ground, and that is do kachazinan, because we see the katlin lale his muscle when we do chop off the hizmi, the prickly plant that it grows on, umaisik shusa, and then the hops die. So obviously, if it wouldn't be nourishing from the ground, it wouldn't grow, and therefore it wouldn't die when the hizmi would be pulled out of the ground and chopped off. And therefore, that's why ultimately it is really growing from the ground, and that's why you make a beripri adama. Whereas the chaziz, as we said before, although it does grow from the ground, you still don't make a beripri adama because it's not a complete pre yet to say beripri adama, and therefore you make a shahakal nibidvar. Now the Gemara goes back to what was said on Amid Aleph in the name of Rav, and that is regarding these kafnias, these bad dates which did not fully mature yet. That Rav said that you can't make an erev with it. It's not considered a pre. It's not considered food. To which the Gemara asks, "But kafnias ema arvin, is it really true by these immature dates that one cannot make an erev with them?" But by the time you learn the braisa kor regarding kor, which is hearts of palm, it's something that's soft that gets added onto the date tree. And every single year. And before it gets to the winter months, when it gets hard and becomes like a piece of wood, until then it's called kar, and that's good to be eaten. It's a food item, that's hearts of palm. That is nikach bekesef maisa. That can be purchased with maisa money, and that is because it fills the two criteria of primipri. It's a product of a product, which comes from the tree, which makes the tree, which makes the following ones. And so it can do the karka, it grows from the ground. And therefore it's a food item that could be purchased with maisa money. However, the imitama tumas oichlim, it does not have the tumas of oichlim, and that is even if you think about it, you're machashiv for it that you want to eat it. However, it's still not considered oichlim because ultimately it gets hard like a piece of wood; it becomes part of the tree, and therefore we view it as wood, not as a food item. Then the brisa continues with kafnios, and this is the case that we're talking about. We're introducing this regarding these immature dates. Nikris bekesef maisa, you are allowed to purchase with meister money. Umitamas tumas oichlim, and it even has the tuma of food items, again, which is not like what Rav had said, that it's not considered an oichel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, kur harehu ka'etz l'chol devar, that hearts of palm are considered wood in all their elements. Elisha nikah b'kesef ma'isa, only that it can be purchased with ma'isa money, which the Gemara later will ask. That's exactly like what the Tanakhama said, that he said that it could be purchased with ma'isa money, but for everything else, it's like wood. Then he continued with kafnis, harehin kipri l'chol devar, that these kafnis, these immature dates, these bad dates, are like fruits in all their elements. Elisha patur from the ma'isa, only that it's exempt from ma'isa. And the reason is because since it was not completed yet, it's not nigma malachtoi, so therefore we do not consider it a pre to require tithing to take off ma'isa of it. However, according to Tanakhama, you are chayv, because for all its elements, it is considered a pre. But ultimately, from the fact that we say that it's metamat tumas oichlam, obviously that we consider that it's an oichel. So therefore, how could Rav say that you cannot make an erev out of these kafnias because it's not an oichel? We see over here that everybody agrees that it's metamat tumas oichlam, that it is an oichel, and therefore it can get the tumas of oichlam, and therefore you should be able to make an erev out of that. And that thing where it says hasim over there, where we learned that it's metamas, that it is considered an oichel, is bidin ischane. We're talking about the palm trees that are the male palm trees, where what they produce are only kafnias. They never become complete dates ever. And therefore, their kafnias, their immature dates, is the gemar pri of these male trees. And they're gathered during Nisan time. And therefore, for these types of trees, they are considered oichel. These are what their complete stage that they get to. And when Rav said that it's not going to be considered a meichel for erev, these kafnias, these immature dates, he was talking about the female palm trees, where their kafnias, the immature dates, do generally become the tamar meant to complete dates, and therefore it's still not considered a complete pre, and therefore that's why you cannot go ahead and make an erev out of it. But there where we learn kafnias, you could make an erev out of it, and the brisa we just quoted, that was talking about the neschane, which by the male trees, where there, that is the gemar pre of those type of trees. Rosh Gemara asks on this pshat, ihachi, if that's the case, that is the machloikas that we're quoting in this brisa, so that we're talking about male trees, where that's the most it gets to, and therefore, that's why they said that it's metamet tumas eichlam. B'hol leim rebbe Yehuda paturis b'na ma'iser. We had a machlokes in that brisa regarding these kafnias. if it's going to be chayiv and meiser or not. The Chacham said that it's going to be chayiv and meiser also, not just Tumas Eichlin. Whereas the Yehuda said that it's going to be part of a meiser. Would he hold that regarding the kafnias of the male trees, where that is the completeness that it gets, that it's going to be part of a meiser? But by the time we learn the Braisa, Amar Yehuda, Yehuda says lehusgru. It was never mentioned, and that is he's quoting him regarding a Tosefta in Masechta Shviyas, which the Gemara in Pesachim and Perek Magen Mishnagu quotes this, that's talking about regarding beer of Shemitah, which is in the Shemitah, you have to get rid of all the produce that's in your house and let it be available for everybody. However, Eichel B'Te'en of the Braisa there says, you could eat by the figs, Atshi Yichlu Pagi Beisani, the Braisa says, until the Pagi Beisani, which we're going to quote in a second, what that is, until they're gone, that is, then you could keep it in your house because there's still something available in the fields. However, Behuda argued, Behuda says no, that this Pagi Beisani was not mentioned regarding the halachas of beer of by Shemitah to get rid of the produce in your house during the seventh year. Rather, it was mentioned Pagi Beisani, that is, Pagi are figs that were not fully matured yet. Basically, the same thing as the case we mentioned before of Kafnias, but here it's talking about figs and there it's talking about dates. So the Pagi, these unripe figs of Beisani, which is a certain location, it was only mentioned El Inyan Meister Bilvad, only regarding the halachas of Meister. Which is, what's this halacha? And that he says, because Pagi Beisani, which again, we just spoke about these unripe figs of Beisani, Va'ahini, and Ahini are these kafnias that we mentioned before, which are the immature dates, the Toivina, of Toivina, where they were all Zcharim, those trees were male trees. And because of that, Chayavim Meiser, they're going to be Chayavim Meiser. Why? Because they are the Gemar Peri on those trees, because they're male trees. And therefore, definitely, it's going to be considered Gemar Peri for other elements. And that is what Rabbi Huda holds. And therefore, he holds that you are Chayiv Meiser by Kafnias regarding when they're from a male tree, because that is considered Gemar Peri. So how can you say, to answer the question of the contradiction of the Braisa on Rav, that Rav was talking about regular female trees, where their Kafnias are not considered mature, not considered Gemar Peri, that you cannot make an area relevant. But the Braisa that said that you could was talking about, oh, the male trees, where that's its completeness, you can make an area out of it. But you can't say that, because although that takes care of the problem of Tumas Eichlin that we're talking about and regarding the discussion of the question regarding Eriv, but there's another machlokes in the Braisa we just quoted that Rabbi Yehuda says that he argues on the Chacham, that Chacham say that you also take Maaser from them. Rabbi says you do not take Maaser. But if it's talking about, as we just had it answered, that's talking about the kafnias of male trees. Now, the kafnias of male trees, we just quoted, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa that Pagi Beisaine and the Zahini de Tovina, which is the equivalent of things that he said that they're complete already because they're from the male trees, although they're these the kafnias, they're immature dates, that it is Chayiv Meiser. So if the Braisa before says that Rabbi Yehuda says you potra Meiser on these kafnias, obviously it's not talking about the male trees, because then you would be Chayiv Meiser. Obviously, talking about the female trees, and then you're back to the question. If the Braisa says that you could make an Erev out of it, in spite of the fact that it's the Pagim, it's these immature dates of the female trees, and Rav says you cannot make an Erev out of it. So the Gemara says a different answer. Ela Olam Lav Beneschani. Rather, the Machlokes that they had in the previous Braisa, Rehuda and Chum, they were not arguing about the Neschani of the male trees, because again, then there wouldn't be, according to Rehuda, that you're part of a Meiser. Rather, Ule inyan tumas oichlan. Rather, regarding the tumas of oichlan of the kafnias, shani, that is different than the halachas of Ervin. And that is, although it seems to be a contradiction that on one hand Rav considers it not a fruit, and that's why you cannot make Ervin out of it. But yet in the Braisa we just quoted that they do consider a fruit. And where do we see they consider fruit? Because we find that they consider that it has a halach of tumas oichlan. That's not a question, because regarding Erevin, it's not a fruit. Regarding Tumas Eichlin, it is a fruit. Why is that? Because the Amr Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan says elsewhere, as we're going to quote later on in the Yomid, and Rabbi Yochanan says the following idea. He says this regarding a different halacha. He says, since it's fit to make it rectified, that it's something that's fit, but if it's sweetened on the fire, that doesn't mean that it's cooked. Here also you could apply the same svar of Rabbi Yochanan to say, since it could be sweetened by cooking it on the fire, and that is as follows. And that is, although that now when it's small, when it's unripe, it's not fit yet, that it's bitter, however, it's still going to be mekabel tumah, because based on the svar, because since you could be make it roy by sweetening it, by cooking it over the fire, and that's why we consider it a pre, to make it that it's mekabel tumah, because it is ultimately oichel, because there's a way that it could be consumed. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, that he argues in the Braisa before, he doesn't hold to that svar of yochel lematkin al dehor. However, regarding the halachas of Eruv, we need something that's fit right now, because this is going to be his residence on Shabbos. Now, if it's not fit right now, I don't care that it could be made fit. which would be good enough for the Svara of Tumas Eichel, that we view it as an Eichel, because it could be made edible. But now, for Erevin, it's not fit right now, because it wasn't made sweet. And therefore, that's why Rav is correct in saying that you can make an Erev out of it. And regarding the halachas of Meiser, that we consider it also not a pre, is because it's not a Gemar Peri yet, it's not complete yet. However, that resolves the contradiction of that Rav was talking about Erev, and therefore, although it's possible to sweeten it, but it's not, and therefore you can't consider it his residence because it's not edible right now. Whereas regarding the halacha of Tumas Eichlin, it is going to be mekabel Tumas Eichlin because it is edible through being matken it, by sweetening it, by cooking over the fire, and that's why it could be mekabel Tumas. So once this was mentioned, the Gemara asked, "V'hichi itmad Rabbi Yechonon? Where was the original statement that Rabbi Yechonon said of that since it could be sweetened through the fire, that's why now we consider it ready a fruit now? Where was that mentioned? Ahad Tanya was on the following braisa. It says, Shkidim Hamorim, regarding bitter almonds. So, Ketanim Chayavim, when the almonds are small, then they're Chayav and Meiser, because in a sense, that is the Gemar Peri of these almonds when they're still small, because when they get big, that is when they get bitter. So then it's not fit anymore. So it's only when they're small, actually, when we consider it, its completeness. So then it's Chayav and Meiser. But Gedoylim Peturim, when they get big, then they're exempt from Meiser, because they're not considered Neuchel anymore. They're considered bitter. No one's eating it. Mesukin, regarding the sweet almonds, when they get large, when they're complete, then they're chayav ma'aser. Ketan b'turim, but here it's the exact opposite. When they're small, then they're potter because they're not nigmar yet. They weren't complete. It's only going to be complete when it gets big. And therefore, it's the reverse of when they're bitter. Reb Shimon Reb Yisi, Aymer Mishum Aviv, says, zeh v'zeh liftur. Both of them are exempt. That is, regarding the bitter almonds, whether it's big or whether it's small, it's going to be part of a ma'aser because the big ones are not an eichel because they're bitter, and the small ones are because they're not a peri because they're not complete yet. So therefore, either way, they're going to be part of when they're bitter. The Amrila and some have a different version on his statement. Ziv is alachiv, both of them are going to be chayiv. As the Gemara will explain momentarily why that would be. Amr b'loi, hayreb chanina b'tzipari k'divri oimer ziv is alaptur. Reb Chanina, Paskin, and Tzipari, like the version that says that both of them are going to be potter. Again, as we said, because when it's big, it's bitter, and when it's small, it's not a complete peri yet. So now, but then the Gemara says, now, according to one that says that both you're chayiv for, so you understand regarding when it's small that you could be chayiv, because that's when it's sweet, that's considered its completeness. But Lamai Chazi, what is it fit for when it gets big, then it's bitter? Why is it considered a pre? That on Rabbi Yechonon, that was with the statement of Rabbi Yechonon that we had used in the previous Gemara, that he says, since you could sweeten it by cooking it over the fire, and therefore it will be edible even when it's big, although it's bitter right now, so therefore it is considered pre and it's chayv ma'aser. That was the source of the statement that we had quoted before. Now the Gemara returns to the braisa that we quoted before. Amamar, Rabbi Yehuda says, kor harehu ka'etz l'chol devar. Hearts of palm are considered halacha like a tree for all purposes, not like a fruit. The only exception is that it can be purchased with Maisa money, and that is because it has the pre-mipri and it has the Gedulei Karka criteria, and therefore it's edible to eat now also. So you can purchase it with Maisa money. Tosfos Gemara asks, Hayna Tana Kama, that's the same as Tana Kama. Tana Kama says the same thing in different words, so what's he adding on more than Tana Kama? So Abaya says, Shlokai, the difference is if it was cooked a lot, Fitignoi, or if it was fried in oil, Ikibinai, that would be the difference between the two of them. And that is, according to Behuda, even if it was cooked a lot and it was fried in oil, it still would not be metame because he considers it eitz l'chol devar. So if you take a piece of wood and you fry it and you cook it, it doesn't make a difference. It's still wood. So it's not going to have tumas eichlin. Whereas according to Tana Kama, if you cook it a lot and you fry it in oil, then it will become tummy. Because he did not say harehu ka'etz. He didn't say it has halacha like eitz. He just says that it's not going to be considered peri. Whereas if you cook it a lot and it's fit to eat, then it will have the tumah of tumas eichlin, and that would be the difference between these two statements. And that the Gemara asks, maskev l'rava, mi'ikal amanda amar shloka v'tigna loy. Can you really say that according to Yehuda, that if you cook it a lot or if you fry it in oil, that the hearts of palm will not have the tumas of eichlin? But time will in the braisa. Ha'arva hashilya, regarding the hide and the amniotic sac of an animal, ein metam tumas eichlin. There is no tumas eichlin, because again, no one eats the hide of an animal or the amniotic sac, so therefore we don't consider it as an eichel to be mekabel tuma. However, arsh shloka, regarding the hide that was cooked a lot, there it has to be that it was cooked a lot. It's not enough to just have thought about it that you want to consume it, because just hide, no one consumes it. It has to be that it was cooked a lot. Or b'shulya shechisha b'lar. Regarding the amniotic sac, it's even if you didn't cook it a lot, it's even just with the thought about it that you wanted to consume it, that for you want to put it aside to eat it, mitama tumas eichlin, that it will get, that it's vulnerable to tumah of eichlin. And therefore, since it's, if you cook a hide a lot, that it's going to be fit for Tumas Eichlim, definitely for this kur, for the parts of palm, where it was fit to eat even before, and therefore if you cook it a lot, definitely we're going to say that it will become a Tumas Eichlim. So I could say, Rabbi Yehuda would say, that's the difference between these two opinions, that even if it's cooked a lot, it's not going to become a Tumas Eichlim. How could it be worse than hide, where even hide, which is never edible, but if you cook it a lot, then we say, oh, now you could chew it, you could eat it. That is Mekabel Tumas Eichlim. How could Hatzah Bam, which was originally fit to be eaten, how could that be any worse to say, the reader would say that it would not become, it's not considered Eichlim to Mekabel Tumas Eichlim? So Elam Amar Rava, so Rava argues on that pshat. And he says, the difference between them, between the Tanakam and Yehuda, would be regarding what the proper bracha on them would be. That is, according to Tanakam, you'd make a bari pra adama, because he doesn't consider it wood. He just says generally it's not fit to eat. But again, if you cook it a lot, or regarding bechlal, the kor, it's adama. But according to Yehuda, it would be shishakal, because ultimately it's going to become hard. Ditma, as we learned, there's a machlokes regarding kor, regarding hearts of palm. If Yehuda am a bari pra adama, Yehuda says you make on hearts of palm a bari pra adama, because it's something that grows from the ground. Shmuel HaMashakalim Dvori says, you make a shahakal, as the Gemara explains. It's an edible food item. Hearts of palm is something that's very geshmak. People buy it in cans, and it's something that grows from the ground. So you make a b'ri adama. Shmuel HaMashakalim Dvori says, no, you make a shahakal. And the reason is, you can't consider it a pri. Since ultimately you're going to become hard, like a piece of wood, which it is, it actually becomes part of the tree. It's one of the branches. So therefore, you can't make a b'ri adama. It's not a pri. It's a piece of wood that's edible right now, so you make a shahaka like anything that has the general category of having enough from this world of Birchas Hanen. So Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, so Shmuel, who was arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Shin, a sharp one, Kavaseich Mistab, it makes sense like you that the proper bracha is Hadam and not like me that I said shahaka. And the reason is, I'll prove it to you that it's like you. That's nine, because we find by radishes, Shasevel HaHakshas, if you don't pull the radish out of the ground, it's going to become hard like a rock. Yet, and in spite of that, you make a bari pra adama because it grows from the ground, people eat it, and therefore same thing should be with hearts of palm. Although if you leave it, it'll become like a part of the branches, but now it's fit to eat, and it's soft, and therefore you should make a bari pra adama. And that the Gemara says, no. It's not, although this is what Shmuel said, that it makes sense to review it, it's not true. You can't compare the radishes to the hearts of palm. Balohi, tznoin, not the incha dai to the pugla. Regarding radishes, people plant it with the intention to eat the radish when it's still soft, and therefore, we consider it a pre, because that's what people planned it for. Diklo, like not to incha dekta de kura, but regarding the hearts of palm, that is the tree, regarding the dekel, people don't plant it with intention to eat the hearts of palm. In other words, it's just the tree growing, and you can cut off branches if you want to and consume it, but people generally don't do that. And therefore, it's not comparative to say that if by radishes we make a bari pra adama, so too by the tree itself that the hearts of palm we make a bari pra adama, because there the people don't plant it with that intention. We don't view it as a peri, although you can actually eat it and it has edible form. And therefore the Gemara concludes, Avagav de Kasei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, although Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda to say that it makes sense like you, that the bracha is going to be a bari pra adama, not a shahakal, Hilchasa Kavasei de Shmuel, the halacha follows Shmuel, as we said, that the bracha is shahakal, because again, there's a big difference between radishes and the hearts of palm, although they both ultimately get hard, and now they're soft, and therefore, by radishes adama, but regarding the hearts of palm, since people do not plant it for that, whereas by radishes they do, therefore by hearts of palm it's shahakal, and by the radishes going to be a bari pra adama. Nothing more continues from a statement that we mentioned before, but it'll bring it in regarding the halachas of the shear, the proper amount that's necessary for it to be considered an oichel to make an erev out of it. So the Gemara says, Gufo, we mentioned before, Amar Yehuda Merab, Kishus v'chaziz, regarding hops and green grain, that's grain that didn't fully ripen yet, Ma'arv men, you can make an erev out of it, Mavarchan lein b'ri p'adam, you make a b'ri p'adam on it. So regarding that statement, the Gemara says, Kishus b'kama, what is the shear for hops to be able to make an erev out of it? And that is, what would be considered a food for two meals worth, as the Gemara later on, the Pei Amar Beis says, that you need to have a food worth of two meals worth to be able to make an erev out of it, because we have to view it as if this is your resident for Shabbos, and you have to have the two meals of Shabbos, so that's considered where you're, that's what a person has in one day. So therefore we consider as that's where your residence. So how much is considered two meals worth of hops? So the Gemara says, because Amar Rabbi Chil says elsewhere, if it's a handful of hops, that's enough, something that's considered to be able to consider for two meals worth of hops. Here also, regarding, although Rabbi Chil says it elsewhere, regarding hops, the same halacha would apply. So Gemara says, chaziz b'kam, regarding how much green grain do you have to have for it to be considered two meals worth of green grain. Amarab bar tovi bar yitzchok, amarab, kimloy uzilso di'ichari. It has to be the amount That is, these bundles of herbs that the farmers would bundle together, that's how much green grain would be considered an amount for 2 meals worth. Amar Rav Chilki Bar Tuvia, Ma'arvin Bakalya, says you can make an erev out of kalya, which is a stalk of a certain grass, which is hard as a piece of wood. Which the Gemara has, Bakalya Sarkadadach, do you think you could actually make an erev out of it when it's a piece of wood? It's so hard. How can you make an erev out of it? It's not a meichel. So the Gemara says, Elabi Yarka de Kalya. What it meant was the green part of the Kalya, which that's edible, and then you can make an Erev out of it. And the Gemara says, Bakama, how much is 2 meals worth of that? Rebbe Chil, Kamalahiyat, a handful. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Yirmiyah Nafak Likur Yasser. Rebbe Yirmiyah went out to the villages. He went out to the village to go ahead and check on his produce, what was going on over there. So once he was there, the Talmud Chacham comes to the city. Boyimene, they asked from him, Mahu La'arav Bepoilin Lachan. What is the halacha? Could you make an Erev out of moist beans? Is that something that's considered edible, in other words, a pre that's muzzin, that you could consider it, that's your residence? Lahavabiyadah, he didn't have an answer. When he came to the base measure and he inquired, what's the halacha? Amrli, they said to him, Hachi Amir Briyanai. Ma'arvin b'pon lachin, that you can make an erev even out of moist beans is considered enough of a meal's, that's considered a meal that you can make an erev out of it. B'kama, and how much is necessary for 2 meals worth? Amr b'chil, again, the statement of b'chil, kemloi hayad, a handful. So Amr b'abnuna, Ma'arvin betrodden chayin, you can make an erev out of raw beets. That's also considered something that's edible, that you can make, that's your meal out of those 2 meals worth. Torah Gemara says, Ini, is that really so? Can you make an erev out of raw beets? Is that considered something that's edible? That's your residency? But Vamrav Chizda, Silke Chaye, raw beets, Kotel Gavra Chaye, that kills a live man. In other words, it's both Chaye, live beets, kills live people. So how can you say that this is something that's fit to make an erev out of it? It's a killer. It's not fit to be eaten. Now the Gemara continues on top of Chavtes Amad Aleph, Hahu Bebosher B'loi Boshel. When did we say that it kills people? That's when it's cooked but not cooked. But if it's totally raw, then that's not a problem. That won't kill people, and therefore you can make an erev out of raw beets. Ikadami, those would say a different version. That Amar Rav Nuna Ein Ma'arv Mitron Chayin. You cannot make an erev out of raw beets. Because as Rav Chizda said, Silke Chaya Kotel Gavra Chaya, because raw beets kill live people, and therefore you cannot make an erev out of it. To which the Gemara asked, but v'hokachazina d'ko'ach l'vamais, we see people do eat raw beets and they do not die, so why can you not make an erev out of it? And the Gemara says, Hasim, over there, the statement of Huna was b'bashal b'loi bashal. That's when it was cooked but not cooked. In other words, it was halfway done. And that is, when did Rav Hamnuna say that you cannot make an erev out of it? That was talking about bashal b'loi bashal, but when it is totally raw, then again, as we had said on the first version, that's not going to be a problem, that you could eat, that's healthful, and you can make an erev out of it. As the Gemara says, related to this, the Amrav Chizda, Tavshal shel trodden, a cooked dish of beets, yafal alei v'tovel anayim, is good for the heart and it's good for the eyes. The kolishkin l'b'nimayim definitely is good for the intestines. To which Amabai qualifies this and says, but behudi yosef abei tavi, that's only if it was sitting on the stove in the place where you put the pot, v'ava toch toch, and it was cooked very well, which is called nitzdamek kule, it's totally cooked until it's like a liquid, liquefied, and that is when it bubbles, when it gets hot, it makes like this sound which is called toch 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 toch. That is, as we said, because basar v'loi basar is harmful. In other words, totally raw is okay. But if it's not fully cooked, it's only a little bit cooked, that's harmful. That could kill a live person. If Abai said, although it's very healthy, it's only if it's tuch tuch, it's something that's totally cooked very well, then it's going to be a healthy item. And that's what we said again, that regarding the beets, you can make an erev out of it again if it's totally raw or totally cooked. But somewhere in the middle is very harmful for a person, and that you could not make an erev with.